Grace to you and peace from God our Father and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Lord God had instructed the prophet Isaiah to tell the people of Israel the following truth. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. These words were probably given to Zechariah maybe about 500-600 years before the time of Jesus Christ. And it's interesting to note that at the time of Jesus, certainly all of the religious leaders at that time, and probably most of those who were Jews, knew these words, could probably repeat them word by word, and actually knew what they meant. They understood that this was a prophecy, that this was the way in which God would reveal to the Israelites who the promised Messiah would be. He would reveal to them that the promised Messiah would be the one who would enter into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And so, for numerous centuries, the people of Israel waited for that day to happen. Of course, lo and behold, then came that day, that Sunday, just before Passover. And it's kind of interesting because the Jewish leaders at that time, they kind of had an inkling that maybe, just maybe, this person by the name of Jesus of Nazareth was going to enter into Jerusalem that day. And lo and behold, as they thought might happen, it did happen. That morning, Jesus told two of his disciples to go into the town, to get the donkeys. And when they came back with the donkeys, Jesus got onto those donkeys. And of course, there started to be a large crowd. And he rode over the Mount of Olives into the Kidron Valley and into Jerusalem. It was quite an event because you see, certainly by Jesus doing this, he was declaring finally to everyone that he was indeed that promised Savior. That he was the one who was going to establish the kingdom of God, restore Israel, have a kingdom in which righteousness would rule and reign. One in which no longer would the people have to suffer, especially at the hands of their enemies, and one that would last forever. But you know what I find amazing about this entire event is the response that different groups of people had to Jesus when he entered into Jerusalem riding on that donkey. Now, the first response I'd like to talk about is the response of the Jewish religious leaders. They were not happy campers. I think it's interesting, we're told that as they were going in the crowd, there were some Pharisees there, and they were telling Jesus, would you quit them? Tell this crowd to stop doing this. And Jesus basically said, hey, look, I can't stop. If God could make these stones praise me, he can and he would. And a little bit later on, we talk about the children being in the temple and they're singing the same Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the Jewish religious leaders were indignant. Tell them to stop. And Jesus says, I can't. They despise Jesus. Sort of makes sense as to why. Because you see, they didn't want Jesus around. They wanted him out of their lives, out of Israel altogether, because he was a huge threat to them. Believe it or not, in Judah, the southern kingdom, the rulers of that southern kingdom were none other than the Jewish Sanhedrin, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Oh, don't get me wrong. The top rulers were the Romans, the Roman governor. But you see, as long as the Jews didn't do anything that was against Roman law, they could do whatever they wanted. And so the scribes and the Pharisees, they basically dictated everything, as long as it didn't go against Roman law. As a matter of fact, I got to share this little point with you. For some unknown reason, the Caesars, who were perverts, literally, they had an affinity. They really liked the Jews. I think it was because they liked their religiosity or whatever. And so when Pilate did a couple of things that got the Jewish people angry and the religious leaders went to Caesar, guess who got into trouble? Pilate. How dare you do that to those Jews? Well, you see, now what was happening was is that this Jesus, he's growing in popularity. On top of it now, he is actually challenging them. He's challenging their teachings. He's calling them hypocrites. And the common people, they kind of like this because, you see, for too long, they had been told what the law was. For too long, they had been severely punished for not obeying that law. For too long, they had to live with the arrogance and the self-centeredness and the self-righteousness of those religious leaders. And now Jesus was challenging them. And while there was a little fear in them, they were going, yeah, man, this is great. They had to get rid of them. They didn't want them around. People today respond that way. Have you ever responded that way? We Christians can, you know. Are there not times in our lives that we really don't want Jesus in them? Those times, you know, when we don't want Jesus telling us how to live our lives? When we don't want Jesus saying, love your enemy? Or those times when Jesus is saying, you know, what you are doing is wrong. It is against the law of God. We don't want to hear that. No, no one wants to hear that. And so what do? More often than not, we'll just separate ourselves from Jesus, from his fellowship, the church. Okay, because we don't really want Jesus in our lives. The second response. That's the response of the people. Oh, hey, when they saw what was going on, boy, were they thrilled. Because you see, they knew now that Jesus, hey, he is the fulfillment of the prophecy. He is that promised Messiah. Did you notice? They said, Hosanna to the Son of David. In so doing, they were referring to the fact that God had said that the Messiah would be from the line of David. Not only that, but the Son of David. That Son of David actually refers to the fact that he would be the Son of God. They also said, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Once again, They're saying, he is finally the one. He is here. He is the one that is going to restore Israel. He is the one that is going to do what God said was going to happen. That he was going to establish the kingdom of God. A kingdom of righteousness and justice and perfection. And one that would last forever and ever and ever. Oh, were they ever happy. And I'm sure that you and I would have been going crazy too. With the palm branches and the cloaks. Giving him that red carpet. Declaring him as God and as our king. And yet, as Pam noted, 5 days, many of those same people were yelling out, crucify him. Why? Because he wasn't the kind of Messiah that they wanted. They were thinking of this earthly Messiah, the one that was going to drive the Romans out of town, the one that was going to keep their bellies full all the time, the one that was going to heal all of their diseases, the one that was going to make sure that all of those crazy enemies that surrounded Israel would no longer bother them, the one that was going to make it possible that they themselves were going to live in that land carefree forever and ever and ever. It was going to be the earthly kingdom. Have you ever responded to Christ that way? Have you ever given Jesus great praise, saying, oh yes, Jesus, what a great person he is. Yes, he's my Savior. And then we start to think in terms of earthly things. Like, he's going to take care of all of my problems. He's going to fix my finances. He's going to heal me of whatever kind of disease I got. That he's going to do this and this and this and this. As a matter of fact, he's going to do whatever I tell him to do just like this. Many people say that that's why Jesus is around. To be our servant. To give us whatever we want here, now. And you see, what happens is that when we don't get what we want, when he doesn't fix our problems or our finances or whatever it may be, we say he didn't keep up his end of the bargain. We get angry at him. Maybe so angry that we want him out of our lives. Then there's the third response, the last one. You know, I don't think that when Jesus was riding that donkey into Jerusalem, he was going like this. Yeah, man, yeah. Okay. And it was just the opposite. He rides in with humility. Isn't it strange that a king, the Son of God, God himself, rides on a donkey? They don't do that. You ride on a horse, a chariot. No, a donkey. On the top of the Mount of Olives, he sees Jerusalem, and he cries. Why? Because he knew that the people were going to reject him for who he was. And the end result was that Jerusalem itself, the temple itself, would be totally destroyed. He knew the people didn't get it as to why he was really there. He wasn't there for this earthly kingdom. No, for a much more important kingdom. The kingdom of God. A kingdom where people could have the forgiveness of sins. A kingdom where people could be reconciled to God. A kingdom where God would literally be able to be at their side and be with them. A kingdom where he would be their shepherd and guide them through all kinds of stuff. A kingdom where he would forgive all of their sins. A kingdom that when people would go astray, he would go for them and bring them back. A kingdom in which there would be victory over death and the grave. because he would raise them from the dead and give them eternal life. That was his kingship. That's why he came. And you know, it's kind of interesting because those that finally did get it, took some time, like the disciples and a number of apostles, when it all came to place and they realized that Jesus came to save them from their sin, to make them God's children, and to give them eternal life, then they were really filled with true joy and happiness. They didn't care if they were persecuted. They didn't care if they were given on to die. It didn't matter. Because they knew what they really had. They knew who they were. God's children. Forgiven. Saved. Who had eternal life. That's what Palm Sunday is all about. It's Jesus revealing himself to us as he is. May we see Jesus as who he really is. For I'll tell you, we'll never be able to praise him and keep on praising him unless we see him as our Lord and our Savior from sin, death, and the devil. Amen.